Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawubona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings. And may peace be upon you all.
We'll believe in freedom and our rest. You believe in freedom and our rest until it comes. We'll believe in freedom.
Hallelujah, greetings, and welcome to Wisdom with Mama G. The attendees are inside the town hall meeting, and I'm in the lobby. So as they come out, I'm going to try to snatch them and have them deal with our theme today, which is Jim Crow, Genocide Survivors, Setting the Historic Record Straight, and Identifying Ourselves, Reclaiming Our Glory, and Demanding Reparations. But we've got a few minutes to just think about that, because coming in chains, kidnapped from a continent, is not the same as coming from countries by choice. What happened to Negro blacks, given that name, traitors, because it means black in Spanish, and they were among the founding fathers of the transatlantic slave trade. So descendants of enslavement in the USA, what happened to us did not happen to everybody. And Bill Clinton and George Bush said in the United States of America and the Senate, on behalf of the United States, the Senate and the Congress apologized on June 18, 2009 for enslavement, and what they call Jim Crow segregation laws was actually genocide by definition, because genocide means causing serious bodily or mental harm to members of the group. And when the United Nations, when the United States said that slavery had caused heart and mind damage to children, as a matter of fact, they were saying serious, but they didn't use the word serious. They danced around it and said heart and mind damage, but mind comes from, mental comes from mind. So it said that this damage was so severe that it was doubtful that the children would ever overcome it. If you're 6 years old when you get this damage, and it's doubtful that you will never overcome it, that's serious. And if it's serious, by definition, it's genocide, causing serious bodily or mental harm. And so how could the children overcome it? They were not counseled. They were not helped in any way. So those children, 1954, grew up, and they passed that damage down to their children untreated, and they are in their 50s. They grew up, and they have passed this serious genocide damage on to their children, who are in their 30s, and they are the parents of Steens and Weems, and that is the group that we are seeing every day, 10, 11, 12-year-olds hijacking cars, raping human beings, murdering human beings because of the untreated harm. And if that harm has gone from worse to worse to worse, and it's connected to what we see today, we have got to claim the correct word. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, Reverend Dr. Prophet Martin Luther King Jr., and a prophet because he shared a personal dream on August 28th, but he left a prophetic vision on April 3rd, 1968, when he said, we as a people, meaning we as a Negro people, will get to the promised land, and we will, through the righteousness of reparations. It's not a check. It's not a welfare check. When they have just given people that we're not even in a war with $650 million in support services right off the bat, then they went and gave them $13.6 billion written into a budget that we can't afford to feed ourselves with the rising prices. We can't afford to drive ourselves to work. And many people, that their vehicle, because they don't have buses in their neighborhood, is their only route to getting to work. And when you're paying $5 a gallon or more for some gasoline, and you only earn $7 an hour, how can you survive? So you're going to lose that job. So what's going to happen to your family while you're giving these other people, not even in a war that you're involved in? And then you come back up and say, well, that's not enough. Let's give them another 800 million. Nobody is saying that's reparations. Nobody's saying let us, charity begins at home and spreads abroad. Nobody's saying that. And for some reason, we as a people, we're in denial about what happened to us didn't happen to everybody else. And it's, and reparations is to repair damage. And we're so damaged until it has gone in and changed our DNA. They call it, I believe, transgenerational epigenetic inheritance DNA. It was once explained to me what it is to live under constant terror. And this is how it happens. Okay. They had these mosquitoes, it was a couple mosquitoes, and you shooed them away, you know, and that was it. But then when the mosquitoes came in swarms and just literally like the birds, you know, took you over, it's the
birds.
you remember
that,
the birds?
That movie, The Birds, where the birds were had gone wild and were attacking people. I think we all remember that.
Right. So you can sort of remember, if it's just a few, you can handle that. But we have had 345 years of federal laws against us as a group of people. Now, where do I get those numbers from? 246 years, that's 2.5 centuries, of you wasn't even a human being by law. We keep hearing, well, you know, America is a country of laws. Well, this is 246 years of laws. You were a movable property thing. That is what chattel is. So a car is chattel, because it rolls on wheels. Black human beings were chattel because they walked on two legs. But legally speaking, there was no difference in this movable property thing that's a car and this movable property thing that's a human being. I guess the difference might have been if you threw the wheelchair or bicycle thing in the fire, it would crackle and pop. If you threw this human being thing in the fire, it would scream and holler. But you can do whatever you wish to your movable property thing. You had to be defined as a thing so that they could pass you on as an inheritance to the descendants of the slave owners. So they passed the houses on to their children, and they passed their property, most valuable property, slaves, onto their descendants so that they could guarantee that they would have generational wealth, because a slave was a very important piece of property. And then you had, as I said, that's 246 years of that. And then you were let go. Okay, you can go now. You're free. No land. No money, no home, no job, no family, no education, no transportation, not even a pair of shoes, to pull yourself up by bootstraps.
And Mama, do I have a couple of questions?
Yes.
I have a couple of questions. First of all, tell us about the town hall meeting there. What are they meeting about? What are they hoping to resolve, and are they addressing any of the issues that you raised about the fact that we're still living in a nation that has been hostile to our presence? And in your opinion, are any of the things they're addressing in that town hall meeting going to alleviate the condition
we
find ourselves in?
You know, first of all, you can't change what you can't admit. So the first thing we have to do is get on one page. We've got to identify ourselves. This town hall meeting is dealing with when you open up a town hall meeting, you open it up, violence that we see on the street to establish a Dr. Conrad World community similar to the NCOBRA. So we'll have another organization that will be devoted to people who comprehend the value of reparations, and they don't see it as a welfare check or a giveaway or a handout, or they're just ashamed. Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, you don't have anything to be ashamed of. These things were done to us. We didn't do these things to other people, but we have a tendency to do. And I think what happens is when you don't get to the root cause, you just sort of move the same problem over into another area by another name. So
I have another question.
Yes.
As you've mentioned, other immigrants came, the majority of them came voluntarily. Some were fleeing various problems in their countries, such as war or famine or religious persecution or whatever the case may be, but they chose to come. And we know historically we do have groups of Africans who came voluntarily and had no problem with the native people here, the indigenous people, and they were working together and there was peace. And then we have the group that many of us descended from that came by force, as you have said. And that group came as a result of instability in the homeland, wars in the homeland, greed in the homeland, and it opened the door for others who were looking to exploit a situation to come in and benefit. And so there's a lot of people that happened between us. And so now, and the question I'm asking, when we see current African immigrants who are coming voluntarily to reap the benefits of the so-called American dream, and they have a different attitude than those who came by force and do not still have connections with the homeland where they can import materials to sell the way other immigrants do, how do we bring cohesion to those two groups of African descendant people when the those who are recent African immigrants may have been the very ones that profited financially from the betrayal of their brothers and sisters and the selling of them to Europeans?
Well, let me go back.
A group of black people now. How do we deal with that?
Let's go back to your first question. In 1619, we were talking August 20th, 1619, when the first group of enslaved captives came to the Americas. And during the 1800s, there was some portions in America like DuSabo. He got along well with the natives, but he was biracial. His father was white and a sailor, and his mother was an Haitian slave. So he had been educated and socialized totally different, and his thing up trading posts in Chicago, the first birth, the first trading post, the first election, everything. He started that. But we have to.
I hope we haven't lost the signal.
There
you
go. And we were.
Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, your sound is going in and out. I don't know. You might need to change locations so you get a better signal.
I will do that.
And meanwhile, we have a comment from one of our Facebook fans.
Yes. Over the,
can you hear me now?
I have my first half hour as a commentary. I don't usually take questions or anything during that particular because I'm trying to set up what we are talking about in addition to what our program today is about. And it's not.
We're live on Facebook, so I want my viewers, Mama D. We're live on Facebook, so I want my viewers to kind of be able to interact a bit because, you know, they're watching, even though they're only seeing me. But even though they, and I have on screen the voice of Evangel Mama D. Love, the fourth Saturday host, so they know who's speaking. But also, as they interact, because we have a response from Curtis Kojo Morrow, who says, "Greeting, Queen Mothers, just know to wish you the best." So we've got people watching as well as listening, so I want to make sure I acknowledge without making them wait too long for acknowledgement. So so you were saying about the, because, you know, the reason why I asked that, Mama D, is because we have increasing numbers of new Africans or recent immigrant Africans that are not part of that history. And as we talk about reparations, we're going to have more of the questions as to, do you deserve to get paid just because you happen to be black, but you didn't have ancestors who actually went through that trauma? Or can you trace your ancestors? We have a lot of, we have a very large Nigerian population here in Chicago, as well as a Ghanaian population that just got here. So as we talk about the reparations issue, how do we deal with the different histories of those who are now living in America?
I am, excuse me, as part of my presentation for the first half hour, where I am, Town Hall Park, I wasn't aware that we were going to be doing both simultaneously. I just thought that I would be on the radio, but since we are doing that, as part of my commentary, I was going to address that very issue. And the point is, what happened to us who came in chains are different from those who came by choice. And you mentioned earlier, I didn't want to get off the subject, but we're coming in chains is different. And so Marcus Garvey, we love you, we thank you, but you came to America from Jamaica, and you came by choice. So we're going to have to, our theme is naming ourselves. We are not called Haitians. We are not called Jamaicans. We are not called Nigerians, because these are countries. And the people that came and they're calling themselves by the names of those countries are different. Our experiences are different. When I went to Ghana in 2018, the buildings have African people carved in them. The African people are on the money. And their experience is totally different. No, they will not be entitled to reparations if they came to America in chains between 1619 and 1865. They are coming in now. See, we are not immigrants. Immigrants and refugees are people that's coming from other countries, and we are not immigrant, that we are not refugees. We are more like, we are kidnapped captives. We are more like political people, because this country derives its power from the consent of the governed, and none of us consented to have our tribal name, to have our very humanity taken away and renamed a movable property thing. And therefore, and given this name, Negro, but colored and Negro and even the word Africa was not words that the tribal people on the continent of Africa used. They were more like independent nations like the Native Americans. Every tribe is a nation. They say Apache Nation, Cheyenne Nation, Cherokee Nation. And we need to be Shaka Zulu nations, but we don't have our tribal name because they renamed us, and they did not rename everybody. So what happened to us did not happen to everybody. We've got to get that straight. If you come over here, and let's say you have, you marry an American, and your children have the name of the father. Your mother, that's a Negro kidnapped captive, might be in a generation, but your children carry that Nigerian name of their father, they will not be entitled to reparations. Our experiences are different, and it's high time that we did that. We are now on this black and brown. They have no history in common with us. The brown people came from Mexico, had their own transatlantic slave trade system. This is not the same as us. The Asians, they were treated with discrimination, but they wasn't duped, they wasn't dehumanized, they were never called chattel. And the Mexican was never called chattel. And the Native American was never called chattel because they were never movable property. So we have got to get this language straight. We're up against a break, and when we return, I want to deal with these issues. Coming and change, kidnapped from a continent, is not the same as coming from a country by choice. What happened to Negro blacks, descendants of enslavement in the USA, did not happen to everybody. And the vestiges of slavery in Jim Crow, according to former presidents Bill Clinton and George Bush, still exist today. It exists today due to the denial and burying black history to hide white hatred called racism. June 19, 1863 did not end enslavement. Immigrants and refugees are not entitled to USA reparations if they came to this country by choice. Now I want you to just muddle over that a little bit, and then we will be right back with the questions, because we are going to have to deal with that. These are the names that are seeing Jim Crow genocide survivors, not victims, but survivors, setting the historic record straight, identifying ourselves, reclaiming our glory, and demanding reparations. These are the names that we have got: Africans in America, Afro-American, Afro-descendant, Moorish America, ADOs, American descendants of slaves, INAA, Indigenous Native American Africans, Black Americans, people of color, American Africans, Muslims, African Americans, Asiatic, Black, and Negroes. Who do you say you are? I guess the commercial is up.
All right, we'll be right back after this break. And if you're on our switchboard now and want to make a comment, tell us your thoughts about how you identify yourself, press 1. We'll come to you after the break. And if you're listening online, want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. Press 1 if you'd like to speak. And if you're on our Facebook page, The Female Solution. Feel free to write in your comments. We've got some comments we'll share after the break. And I'll mute your mic, Mama Dee, in case you want to grab some people for an interview after the break. So we'll be back after these messages. So we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Watching and listening to the Global Virtual Team Competition.
We're going to get an opportunity. For anyone
to tell
you, how did you know that you sound like John Legend? How does that happen?
To bring in...
Well, it was probably when I was young. I was sitting around the house and since my parents would say, so if you get around the house, I would just be running around the house, singing songs, dancing, and stuff like that. So after a while, I felt like I really should just start doing music. So I started doing competitions and practicing. And then I did the PTA performance where you saw where John Legend retweeted me. So, yeah, that's when I started, like, wow, this is what I should be doing. So, yeah.
He said when he was young.
Talent competition. You can go to HLNTV1 to see some great talented teams. And of course, that is conducted by our Monday morning mindfulness host, Zelda Speaks. And if you are watching us on the Female Solution Facebook page, feel free to write in your comments. We've been asked a question. How do you identify yourself? And we've been called a lot of names. So the question is, which name do you think applies to you? And does it indicate your identification as an ex-slave as opposed to someone coming from one of the nations on the continent of Africa or even in the Caribbean? Or any other place in the world that you may have descended from. Who do you identify with? How do you call yourself? And do you think that those who are descendants from the transatlantic slave experience should be paid for their suffering? So we will be returning with Mama Dee in just one moment. And if you are listening online, we want you to join this conversation. If you're on our switchboard now, we want you to join this conversation because this is a question that will definitely come up for many of those of African descent. Be right back.
Hallelujah, greetings in the spirit of Wayo and Yah Shalom. Wayo means we are one. Yah is Hebrew sacred name for God, and Shalom means peace. I'm Evangel Mama Dee Love Yah Nubian, and I'm inviting you to join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Wisdom with Mama Dee. Call in number 515-605-9325. Wisdom women in support of daughters on motherhood preparation. And spiritually speaking, men who do the will of Yah are mothers too. As a Montessori educator, author, activist, international award-winning poet, and ordained minister, females, I want you to say farewell to all things, seen and unseen, that prevent your potential. You bring forth life and give birth to babies. A kid is an animal beast with four legs. A child is a human being person with two legs. Facts can change feelings, but feelings cannot change facts. A mother teaches love. Love is the arm that reaches out and holds people, places, and things together. That's what Wisdom with Mama D is about. Join me every fourth Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. Call in 515-605-9325 to share your wisdom and love souls into shape. Remember, mother's farewell. If you don't, your child won't. And if he doesn't, society is abused. Females, you are global transformers with the power to change this world. Use it.
Ancestors or spirits of their ancestors or Africans in the diaspora. So, you know, he says, finds, I guess his identifying himself as an African in the diaspora. And he said, right on. So, you know, I think, Mama D, one of the realities that we got to deal with this whole slave situation, we were fighting and we were capturing prisoners of war and we were selling them. And the Europeans were buying them and shipping us abroad. We made this mess by fighting. And the reason why I asked about current immigrants from Africa, they got that same attitude. They'll say, oh, well, our people conquered their people. And like you said, you know, the Ashanti, they were into aggression. So you had some people who were aggressively overcoming other family groups, other tribes, other nations, and they sold them. So how are we going to deal with that, especially if we got our folks come over here? And they ain't sorry they did it. I'm talking to Nigerians,
they
ain't sorry.
Easily.
Yeah, we sold you people. We ain't sorry. So how do we deal with it, Mama D?
We're going to deal with it the same way the Afghanistan people. They are the victims. We were fighting, but we weren't the leaders in the fight. They are being bombed, but they're not the leaders in the bombing. And to blame them, who just got bombed out of their homes for the decisions that leadership makes is just fundamentally unfair. But this is the dilemma that we face when it's all said and done. America does not owe you no reparations up until 1776 because there was no America. So that's British that owes us reparations from 1776, from 1619 to 1776. So we've got to get the identity straight. And when you say we were fighting, if I have never seen Africans are very superstitious people, like most people are superstitious. They put on white face as part of their rituals. But for them to see a white face where the paint didn't come off, to have big thunder guns that could blow up whole areas, you were in your tribal wars like the Native Americans, but we each had bows and arrows that we were fighting with. But the Africans were fighting with spears. But when somebody comes in with a cannon, over with. So if you have never seen a white person in your entire life, how is it all of a sudden you don't know his language? You're scared to death because he's white with a cannon that's blowing up a whole village, and all you're used to doing is fighting on your tribal weapons. With I got my spear and you got your spear, and this is what we got going on. But you expect us to believe that these white people who we never saw before knows your language, you know their language, you all went down to Chase Bank and you drew up an agreement and said you could have these slaves. Because no, if I beat you, you become part of my family. If you beat me, I become part of your family. So this.
Well, you know, Mama D, I got a thought about that, because war is war.
Just
I don't
because
know if
I have a person
upset or stand.
Here.
I mean,
I have
is there
a person here that's got to go back
to the
stab town
you to death. Is that
meeting.
Better than being blown up, or are you still dead?
I have a person here that has to go back to the town hall meeting.
Give us their name so I can spell it and put it on the screen.
My name is Shirley McLaurin. Shirley
McLaurin.
I am a member of Vancouver. How are you?
Hey, Shirley McLaurin, member of Vancouver. All right.
I'm a member of Chicago and Cobra for the last 30 years. And we're here at the Chatham Theater doing a presentation, informational presentation for Dr. Conwell Worrell's conference today.
And so while she's out here, we have, she's on Blog Talk Radio, Wisdom with Mama D, the female solution that you just got to talking to our visionary host. And our theme is Jim Crow Genocide Survivors, Setting the Historic Record Straight, Identifying Ourselves, Glory, and demanding reparations. So this is the premises that we are taking. Coming in chains, kidnapped from a continent is not the same thing as coming from countries by choice. What happened to Negro blacks, descendants of enslavement in the USA, did not happen to everybody. And the vestiges of slavery and Jim Crow still exist today due to denial and burying black history in order to hide white hatred. June 19, 1863 did not end enslavement because the Dred Scott Supreme Court decision was still in effect. Immigrants and refugees are not entitled to USA reparations if they came to this country from another country by choice. So would you address those?
Well, that is all factual, and thanks to a reparations movement that's going on, not only in Washington, D.C., but in all 50 states, we have the opportunity at this point now, since the H.R. 40 bill is at hand, to be voted on and distributed amongst the Congress and the Senate and our president, who can make what we call an executive order about this issue that needs to be resolved now. We have been fighting for the last 500-plus years for reparations that we've been denied and everybody else has been given. And thanks be to the Mama D keeping up with the historical facts, amongst others that we have members here in Chicago, in Cobra. If it wasn't for them and Dr. Conrad Worrell's attempt to make sure that the NATO, or was it the National, when he went over to...
In 2001, when the United Nations voted slavery a crime against humanity, they said it always has been, and they recommended reparations for descendants. A few days later, the hit on America happened. It all went away, but it really went away because Colin Powell, who represented the United States and Israel, who's gotten everybody's reparations, including
land
and everything else,
in the United States,
they walked out. And so that reparations for us became the DREAM Act, Development, Relief, and Education for Aliens, Non-Citizens, Minors under the age of 31, amnesties from any crime that's not federal, and exemption from student loans and student debt, when by law, 246 years, we couldn't even go to school, by this is a country of law. And so I asked the president, I said, could you add another A, development, relief, and education for African-American minors under the age of 31, and amnesty from any crime that's not federal, and exemption from student loans and student debt. We can't just sit back and watch people that we're not even in war with get $650 million off the top, followed up by $13.6 billion, followed up by, we got to give you another $800 million, and then you won't even allow a bill that's 30 years old to be passed when you have offered $450 million, because you're talking about somebody who got separated from their family members when they
Mama D, I have a question,
country.
Shirley. I have a question for Lauren, and Cobra member. Mama D, I have a question before she has to go back in.
Let me just finish this thought. When they broke into this country, and because they were separated from their children, we don't have family jails to put people in. If you get arrested, you go one place for adults and your children go to another place. But they broke up their family when they left their family members and broke into our country. When we can't visit Ghana without a pass, can't visit
any
the country we was kidnapped from, not any country. And then we're going to sit back and allow them to give them, talk about that for their separation, and we've been separated from being human for 246 years. So we want
to... And I'm just going to add to what Mama D said, because Mama D is a historian of all of this. If it were not for us that are still relegated to staying here in the United States and fighting and not leaving the country to go to other places like Ghana and various Costa Rica to get away from this slavery mentality, slavery laws that we live up under. It's time for change, and it's time now.
Absolutely. So thank you so much.
So Shirley, yes. I've got a question for you. We've got one of the people join us on Facebook Live here, Curtis Kojo Morrow, who's been to Ghana and, of course, was born here in America, fought in the war, in the Korean War and all that. And he's got a statement about reparation. But the question that I have before I read his statement, you know, I've got a lot of friends and associates who are recent immigrants from Africa, a lot of Nigerian friends, a lot of Ghanaian friends, a lot of friends, got some Senegalese friends. So many who have come recently do not have the same belief about what America has to offer. I mean, they've experienced racism because this is a racist place, but they also came voluntarily, unlike those who were forcibly shipped here, and they came seeking the economic benefits. So their political position about this may be different, and even though they are recent immigrants, they're still black. So when it comes to the reparations issue, is there a way that NCOBRA has designed so that those who recently came, and maybe their children might have been born here, but they are immigrants, they are not descendants of those who were forcibly brought here, and they also still have ties to their native country and language and culture. So how is NCOBRA dealing with that reality that we have a growing recent immigrant population of African people?
This is what we're Americans, number one. Number two, we are working on that aspect basically because, again, we have had the opportunity to reorganize in the last 2 years because there's so many aspects that we want reparations for. Okay? So that's the only clear way I can answer your question. We're working on that aspect. Okay?
And what we're saying is they are immigrants. They are new Americans. They have laws and all kind of benefits as sanctuary status that we do not have access to. And this is one of the major problems. They are coming from a country seeking a better way of life. But at the end of the day, as Reverend Dr. Prophet King said, we are treated like exiles in our own land, and they are treated like citizens, and they just got here. So, no, our experiences are not the same, and it's not that complicated. No, because you have a black skin, you are not automatically entitled to all your benefits of refugees that everybody else has because you are bilingual. And because you are bilingual, you are given preference in job, everything else. And again, because we were kidnapped from the continent, America is our mother tongue language. And people said, well, you can learn another language. Why should we have to change our mother tongue language to convenience somebody that just got here or has broken in here with preference in jobs and everything else? So these are the kinds of things that we have to rectify.
I got another question, and maybe Mama D, maybe you and Shirley, if she's still there, can answer. The more we, the more time passes, the more our lineage and our descendants change. We've got a lot of African descendant people who are, just like you mentioned, with Dusabo, are mixed race. Some are Asians, some are Hispanic, some are Caucasians in various parts of the world. So people are intermingling, intermarrying, and producing children that on the census form, they got to check other because they have all these additional heritages, and they're not choosing to claim Africa as the only ancestry. And there are also a lot of people who are doing the DNA test. So they've got a lot of people who might have, you know, 20% Nigerian, 30% Swedish, you know, 10% Irish, 5% Ghanaian, and they have all this mixture. So how would those people who now have all of these various mixtures, how would they identify themselves as descendants of those enslaved when, in fact, they might have a higher percentage of European ancestors?
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, it's not based on my DNA. When I went to Ghana, it's European. It's not based on that. We have got the slave owner name, your Brown, Smith, and Jones, and when you come here with the African name or the Jamaican name or some other kind of name, you are coming from a country with a land and a language, and it is not the same. I don't know why that's so difficult for us to digest all the stuff that we have gone through. Do you know what the John Lewis rights to vote, what is the Right to Vote Advancement Act? It has a category on it, and it has removed race. The word creed, it used to be no discrimination based on race, creed, and color. Well, it has removed the word creed and substituted in its place membership in a language minority group. And that group is limited to Asians, Latinos, and Native Americans. And when they say minorities, Asian minorities, we're talking about countries. We're talking about China, Japan, strong enough to bomb Pearl Harbor. We're talking about Vietnamese, Korea. These are countries where we're talking about Latinos. We are talking about Cuba. We're talking about Puerto Rico. These are countries. When they're talking about us, we are a racial group, but it's limited to these Asian, Latinos, and American Indians, and the Haitians, Nigerians listed under Black or African Americans are not listed in that membership group, even though they are bilingual and they are coming from a different country. People need to read that John Lewis Voting Rights Act, because what it does, it manipulates with what citizenship is. Are we on the bridge last week and 57 years ago, the Asians and the Latinos and the American Indians were not on that bridge fighting. 50 years last week, the Native Americans, the Latinos, and the American Indians was not on that bridge fighting for voting rights, but the John Lewis bill says they are, Congress has determined, they are the most disenfranchised voting group in America, and that is Asian,
you got a couple of callers, and you got some statements on Facebook that I'd like to share before we take a break. We've got a few statements on our Facebook page, and our callers, I'll take you right after the break, and we've got Will Curtis, of course, said regarding the Africans and the forced coming to America, he said, you know, case in point, many Africans en route to slavery refused by fighting to death, and those are the ones whose shoulders we now stand. Yeah, they're right. They're those who resisted. And he said, to my dear sister Mama D, such is war, you know, and that is what he said. He said that men seldom fight and win when fighting on equal terms. And he said, as sad as it might sound, and he said also concerning reparations, which reminds me of my grandfather when they talked about reparations, slavery and 40 acres and a mule. The following is a tribute to my grandfather and uncles and many, there are many stories they have, may they rest in peace. Remember stories my grandfather told us as kids, like how he and others freed slaves ran from the plantations to get away from them, mules and cotton fields as far as possible. And he was 12 when the Civil War started. His grandfather was 12 when the Civil War started. He said he also told us that you wanted, you could fight back. So Curtis, who is, I believe, a senior in his 80s now, also remembers a grandfather who was born in slavery, and, you know, they left the South, they left the farms. Many of them had an opportunity to fight in the war, but one of the things that I want to say before we take a break, you've got a lot of people who, as they think about that heritage, and they look at all of the things that, like I said, they may be mixed with or may have traveled, they may not choose to identify with an ex-slave heritage anymore, because that may be something that they see as a victim mentality that isn't giving them the incentive to overcome, because they are not just descendants of those who were enslaved. They may now have so many other aspects of their family lineage.
Now, all say that, be that as it may, you see, it's not based on a personal decision that we might want to make. Someone has just come out of the town hall meeting, so I want to try to snatch them as they come out.
We'll grab them, and then we'll take a break after we talk to them.
Okay, but for right, you're taking a break now.
Okay, I'll take a break while you set up the interview, and we'll be right back.
Okay, very good.
All right, and we'll be back in a moment. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak.
I'm on Blog Talk Radio. I'd like your comment.
Female Solutions Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and Move Around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
But my grandparents were in the very chains of slavery, because enslavement did not end until 1865. And if your parents were born before then you are a descendant of slaves. And I was raised by a mother whose mother was in the chains of slavery. So, but and if you change your name or whatever, you don't have to have that Negro name, Brown, Smith, slave owner name, but you won't be getting no reparations, and that's okay. Now, I have a person who just came out of the...
All right. After that, we'll take a break. Take a caller.
And he's
right here. 776 we're coming to you next, okay. and I mean, 263, and then 314-677, we're coming to you after that. And Mama D, who do we have there?
Asking the question what we should call ourselves, because when it comes to he's right here, so he we're taking our polls so they can check and say what they want to be called, because we're going to have to identify ourselves, reclaim our glory, and demand reparations. And everybody didn't go through what we went through, and they will not be entitled to. So I'd just like for you to tear off this bottom slip here and say what you wish to call yourself. And since you just left out of the town hall meeting, would you address what you think about what happened to us didn't happen to everybody. Mm-hmm. And everybody that comes over here is not entitled to reparations. What do you feel about that?
And please give us your name.
My name is DeWitt.
Can you spell that, please?
D-E-W-I-T-T.
DeWitt. D-E-W-I-T.
Yes, a white man.
One T or two?
What would you like to call yourself?
Okay, and between these?
Between, right, Africans in America. Afro descendants. ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves, NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans, Black Americans, American Africans claiming the country first and then the continent, African Americans, Asiatics, and Blacks. And we have this people of color is on here too.
Well, I believe I'm quite, like, maybe I can identify with a couple of these. Like the descendants of slavery, I can identify with the Negro, and I can identify with the African American.
Yeah.
Or the Black American.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But ADOS, American Descendants of Slaves, does not have what happened before we were slaves. So we're talking about billions of years of history as parents of civilization, and then we're just going to claim the 400 years American descendants of slaves, and we don't have no history when we're using that title. The word Negro is part of the chattel slave name that the founding slave traders gave us. It was not our African tribal name. So our dilemma right now is when you say African American, you're claiming Africa instead of the country America. And that's kind of backwards. But if you're here before 1776 and 1619 came before 1776, you are indigenous native, like Richard Wright said, native songs, indigenous native American African. So that way you got your country, America, that you're claiming, so you won't be treated like exiles, like Dr. King said, in your own land. And you're claiming your former being kidnapped from a continent. And see, in order to get the reparations straight, we've got to identify ourselves. But we've got to identify ourselves with this country that was built by 246 years of kidnapped Africans not even being human beings. Chattel is the movable property. So with that in mind, NAAs, Indigenous Native American Africans. We don't even have to say CP, just NAA, Indigenous Native American Africans.
indigenous
Mama,
Native
you've got
American.
A couple of people on the line when they after they answer that one.
Listen, what I can identify with.
It, right. And but we got a sticker on the end of it. NAA. Yes, that you can identify with because that covers everything. And then we don't allow these people that just got here yesterday talking about they are indigenous. No, we are was here before 1776. We claim that indigenous status
right.
also. Amen. Okay, so we have a vote here for NAA, Indigenous Native American Africans. And that covers our country and the country, the continent we were kidnapped from.
Well, okay. All right. Well, you got some callers now. I'm going to take caller area code 773-263. Please give us your name and where you're calling from and your comments regarding
and we are on
your racial identity.
Right.
773-263.
So
go
I right
thank
ahead.
You and you've
given your
how
preference,
are you?
And we're going to go online. And
hello?
Mama, do you want a caller on the line?
Yes, yes.
Go right ahead.
Yes,
call.
This is.
Thank you.
This is Rashida. Grand Rising.
Yeah.
You
all
know,
right,
I want to say this. I am an African-American, very dark-skinned and victimized. And my misunderstanding and lack of knowledge has led me to believe when we accepted Jim Crow to build industry, we gave up our rights to reparation, such as 40 acres and the mule. However, I think that we are due compensation for our development and trade and industry, okay? My mother is over 80 years old, and she told me a long time ago that my great-grandmother was born in India. However, my great-grandfather was born as an American, Native American, married my great-grandmother. So I think we American citizens need to really concentrate on healing from the trauma that we endure now, what we are doing now. And I don't know. I don't understand, you know, how we could just keep drilling our children on the negativity of what brought us here in captivity, because many people has been injured and many more had been injured this year. So, and they were killed by their own people. So we don't take them back to thinking that the European is supposed to owe us something for our captivity, which already oppressed us. So I think that's not proper behavior. I think that our children should know what we accepted during Jim Crow and what we are due entitled to and still are deprived of and trade and industry because we built that in America. So
well,
I don't see reparations.
Let me ask you this.
What
so Rashida, let me ask you.
None of that conversation will help us. Yes, ask me.
So, Rashida, do you think that it actually causes more emotional trauma for us to keep talking about slavery to our children? Is it more damaging for us to keep bringing it up? Or should we not talk about it and focus on, as you said, what is happening now? What are we doing to each other now? How are we violent toward each other now? And how can we fix that right now, which is what we're doing to each other, as opposed to whatever white people are doing in terms of discrimination? So do you think we should not keep talking about what happened? Would that be more damaging to keep bringing it up? What are your thoughts on that?
I think that most of us are already damaged because of the psychological effects of slavery. I think that. And then to keep reminding them of the pain and suffering and the pain and suffering and hating each other and admiring what other ethnicities have accomplished and hating them because they accomplished. We have one thing we need to teach them, the psychological effects of slavery, which we still have the effects in our community today, because we're not doing any damages to, even with the stimulus money came, and they damaged their own community. And again, some of us got injured in our own community. So reparations would not heal the thought and the pain and suffering that is now being, that is not happening. And then in the past,
is not the answer.
About, oh, that, money could be the answer, but the conversation should come from the industries that we built, not because we were beaten and enslaved and promised a mule and 40 acres. That's what I think.
I would like to add this.
Well, thank you, Rashida. So Rashida says money is not the answer. What do you think about that? We got the stimulus money. We blew it. We still broke, and we tore up our community. So what do you think about that?
I'd like for you to be on Blog Talk Radio. I would like to add this. Jim Crow started, we were, as I said earlier, released without anything, not even a pair of boots to pull ourselves up by bootstrap. And then from 1866 to 1954, that was 88 years of laws to keep the status of the Negro down. This is what the Brown Girls Excuse me. I listen to you. I'd like to be heard.
Hey, thank you, Rashida. We'll bring you back a little later after I take some more calls. Go ahead, Mama D.
Well, we're going to try to take some different people. I think we gave her adequate amount of time for questions and for answers. But I want to repeat this because she brought up, like, we had a choice in Jim Crow. They were 88 years of laws that separated people from education. And as they said in their own language, everything was done possible to keep the status of the Negro down. And they didn't say the status of the black and brown or the status of Asians or Indians or anybody else. That's what Jim Crow, that's why black birds is a crow. These laws was divine. Now, when you add 246 years times 88 years of laws, that's 335 years. And then you add 11 years from 1954 to 1965. That's 11 years. So we are talking about 345 years of federal laws to keep us as a people down that didn't happen to anybody else. So we have got
Mama D, you got a couple of callers on. I'd like to bring on area code 314-677 to respond to your thoughts. Go right ahead. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments, please.
Yeah, hello, Naeem. This is Pianki. You know, there's a show that comes on at 4 o'clock, Black by Color Only, that talks a whole lot about this. It's different from what Mama D is. It'd be on Saturdays. It'd be on the day in about 2.5 hours. Black by Color Only. But here's the thing, and I really appreciate the man DeWitt, which is a Dutch name, which does mean the white. And to make people only look at one side of their biological tree, I've heard students complain about that. They say, I don't just want to know about my African side. I want to know about all of my sides. It was said in University High School there outside of St. Louis about a decade or so ago. And another thing, blacks today owe African tribes reparations for what they've done to get them expelled from the continent. Not all, but a whole lot. You owe them reparations. And that sin, the sin of the father, follows the son. Another point. A lot of noise.
Please,
I'm going to
mute you. just a moment, because you're in the background noise. I'll bring you right back. So, Bianca, you're saying that just like the Europeans who were let out of the jails and sent to America because Europe was getting rid of his riffraff, and so they sent boatloads of those who had been filling the jails and had committed criminal activity, they sent them here. You're saying the similar thing happened in Africa where those who were shipped abroad, those who were sold to the Europeans, those who filled the slave ship, those were the people that the whatever nation captured them and imprisoned them and enslaved them, that they deserved it because of some wrong they had done, and therefore they're in the same category as the European prisoners.
No, that's
that were
not
taken to America. Is that
what
you're
saying? I hear what you're saying,
so
but let me better explain that.
The Africans, their reparations, is that what you're saying?
In essence, yes, but in some cases not, because what happened, if you was captured in war, if you was captured while doing a crime, you either paid restitution, or you was killed, or you was sold off by the Africans of that tribe to the people in the market in order for them to gain compensation for what you had done. So it may have been African tribes that took you down to the marketplace and sold you in order to recover the damages that you've done. Still out of background noise.
All you need to do is talk to me.
I'm going
to
open your mic just a moment, Mama D. So
one other thing, too.
When there were paid enslavers and there was, you know, business deals where certain people were paid to go in and burn whole villages and capture people, what about many of those situations? And there are many accounts where people said, the slave catchers came, burned our village, killed the men, captured the children, or captured the women, captured the men who didn't fight back or couldn't overcome them. And it was an act of war, but it wasn't a provoked act of war. It was an act of business. You know, they were captured for the purpose of selling them to those who wanted to purchase them. What would you say
about
that?
It was a business. It was a business that had been going on in the continent of Africa way before they ever met somebody with a white face. Matter of fact,
okay.
Africa taught the rest of the world slavery of those types. They did. If they had the first civilization, you're talking about things that go on in human civilization amongst people. And for over 1,000 years before any transatlantic slave trade, that practice had been going on to the east, to the north, and later on with the transatlantic to the south. And, you know, you talk about 40 acres and a mule. Well, that acreage belonged to Indians. It didn't belong to no – it belonged to the Indians. So how was Sherman and Secretary of War Stanton going to give away Indian land because they said that plantation owners, which, by the way, was black too, nobody never mentioned them, which is a misjustice because you say that we leave black people out of history. So why do you leave the black plantation owners that own slaves out of history too?
Okay, so let's give Mama D's response. Thank you, Pianki. We appreciate your perspective. So Mama D, Pianki is saying that number one,
I want to answer his question.
Are enslaving
I would like
them,
to
and number
answer his question. Yesterday was the 21st anniversary of the International Day of Remembrance for the victims of slavery and the transatlantic slave trade. It's been 21 years since the United Nations voted slavery a crime against humanity, and always has been, and America has not recognized it. People are coming out of the town hall, and so, hi, would you help me pass these out? Everybody got one.
Area code 31369, we're going to see you next.
Last line and give me what your preference is. Tear off the last strip. Yes, tear off the last strip and give it to me, because that's one of the things that we're doing. But because we are trying, we need to fill off the last strip and tell me your preference.
So, Mama D, while you're getting that, Mama D, I'm going to go to another caller, area code 312-669. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your thoughts.
Yeah, Curtis Kojo Morrow. Matter of fact,
been
reading my statements there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so I agree with your last two callers. And, you know, Mama D, you know I love you and I respect you highly. But in my particular case, and that, and it's not just me, because, you know, I returned to Africa and lived for 11 years, you know, from 1965 to 1976 straight. So it was like a born-again experience. While I was there, I spent a lot of time with the elders, the chiefs and the elders. And that's all we talked about. You know, they talk about politics, farming, and history. They talked about how their ancestors, now some of those very elders there had actually fought the British, you know, during the the last war or something was 1810 or 1812 or something like that. No, it was later than that. But anyway, so they gave me, and I learned the history, not only recent history. They took me all the way back to the first human beings on the planet, black people. And even the white doctors, anthropology, proved that Susie, you know, in Kenya, the first known human being that was discovered. So before this civilization, that was great civilization before the Roman Empire, and it started in Africa. I mean, that's what people done. There was warriors. That was this the nature of mankind. And the Ashanti area people at that time, you know, they conquered most of West Africa. You know, they had a saying like, you know, they fight until the knife got too dull to cut. Okay, then the other thing, too, is they talked about history. They talk about fighting their fellow tribesmen, you know, and the defeated ones become their servants. Yeah, they become their servants, but it wasn't the same kind of slavery that was known here, that was practiced here. Eventually, slaves that they captured, you know, their fellow tribe or different tribes, they would actually raise up, they could marry, they became chiefs in certain Ashanti area, Akan area, too, you know. No slave had ever been captured here, there, and returned to Africa. You know, there was a few, but I won't go into that. And that was up in Liberia area.
Right.
Okay, so the thing about war, this is on the other brother's question. You know, wars is bad. Bad things happen in war. Soldiers get out of control. And it takes off, you know, it's kind of hard. One soldier starts shooting at everybody shoot. It takes 10, 15 minutes for the commanding officer to cease fire. You know, you have to yell at because you get caught up in that moment. Okay, then when it comes to the reparation, in 1972, I was talking about a reparation, you know, nationalizing in Ghana. And one of the expatriates who was there said, well, look, Curtis, why don't you go and talk to your chief? That was the chief that I was adopted into, that tribe, the Paramount chief. I went there, and he looked at me. Now, this was the first time that I actually heard him speak fluent English. Usually when you got an audience or you in a company of other people, other Shanti, you know, they would speak through a language. But he looked at me, and he said, what authority do you have to give up what your ancestors fought and died for? That is not our way. We add on to. We don't give away nothing. And we see the same thing that's happening right now in Russia and Ukraine. They have their reasons. But they was edged on, just like we were. Our people was edged on. you know, the peoples on the coast were giving the goodies, and the peoples on the interior, you know, they got mad at the peoples on the coast because they were close to the white man, you know. And so it goes on. We know, you know what I'm talking about. Just like the blacks in the north.
So, Curtis, you're saying those who were involved in the enslaving process, they saw it just a natural part of conquering nations conquering nations.
Yeah.
wasn't a negative thing. So that is a mindset even of those who come here now and they talk about what happened in slavery. If they were on the winning side, they don't have any guilt about that. They said, oh, yeah, we conquered you people, and we sent the weak tribes away. Yeah, that we did that. I mean, that's the idea. I want you to hold on, Curtis. I'm going to come back after the break and get Mama D's response. What you say? So hold on. We'll be right back. And Mama D, we're going to come right back to you after the break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. We'll share some more comments from our Facebook family. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and, of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex. Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibration. Shalom.
Because we have to set a priority here and talk to the people that's here in person instead of the ones on the phone. But we've got people they've tried to wait around but couldn't. But let us just get back to the question at hand.
Excuse me, please.
You know, we got two hosts today, and that's kind of throwing me off. having two hosts.
Oh, Mama D, I got to hear you. Can't hear you. You know, we got a job to do here. So now,
yes,
if you want to grab somebody that's there, we'll give them a chance to speak. But if you talk a long time, Mama D, then okay, we'll see if you can if you grab one of them,
so
we'll give an opportunity.
Right along, I'd like to answer the question.
All right.
They're not here. They have chosen. So far, five people have chosen the names from the list that I gave. I had included Moorish American. For some reason, it's not typed on the, that's one of the choices. Also, Moorish American. Black is not a land. See, for the people on the continent of Africa do not claim the continent. They claim a country. They say, I'm from Ghana, and I'm Ghanaian. I'm from Liberia, and I'm from Liberian. I'm from Kenya, and I'm Kenyan. The president of the United States, Barack Obama, said black has no standing in law, and that he was not the first black president. He said he was the first Kenyan-American president. At the end of the day, we've got to get off of these emotional responses. I'm black. There is no land called black. There is no land called Negro. There is no land called people of color. We've got to get with the land called America. This is our country. Our native tongue, because of what happened to us, is English. And when you pass the citizens, there's two ways to be citizens in America. And that is to be born in America, according to the 15th Amendment. You are born in America, or you are a naturalized citizen by taking a naturalized citizenship test that requires you to read, write, and speak English. Federal law says that in order to vote, you must be a citizen, not have your visa for a few days that they are doing in New York and want to do in Chicago. Through this home rule, you have a constitutional right when it comes to voting. You must be a citizen. And in order to be a naturalized citizen, you must read, write, and speak English. And pass that test. But what they are doing with the John Lewis Right to Vote Advancement Act is they are saying that everything that is in English concerning with voting must be put in your language. So whether that violates the naturalized citizenship law that says, in order to be a citizen, you must read, write, and speak English. So what they are saying is everything, according to this membership in a language minority group that I said earlier, is limited to Asians, Asians, Latinos, and Native Americans, which are sovereign. They have exempt status, cultural rights, sovereignty, land, and money. But now they are saying, according to Congress, these are the most disenfranchised groups when it comes to voting. But they were not on that bridge 57 years ago, and they was not on that bridge last week. But all of a sudden, they're at the top of the line when it comes to voting rights. And we are
Mama, then you got two other callers that are on the line. Let's take area code 773-450. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment. And then 314-381, we're coming to you next. Go right ahead. 450. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comment.
You are not, I guess they're not connected, so who is the
okay, well, let's
do
314-381.
You know,
thank you for calling Wisdom with Mama D.
You made mention you made mention of the 14th Amendment.
We are not taking repeat calls at this moment because I wanted to answer your question. And what
I'm here to answer it.
Well, let me ask you the question before, because you have been on one time.
Well, you had so much noise behind you, I couldn't tell if you was talking or not.
Well, you see, that's because I was trying to get the people in that was here in person. Can you hear me now?
So, Mama D, are you answering the question about the warfare that led to the slavery? I believe Pianki and Curtis made that point.
Curtis was absolutely right in what he was talking about when he was talking to those paramount chiefs.
Would you get my coat?
Oh, here we go again.
One of the things, Mama D, is that we have not talked to recent immigrants.
See, Mama D is trying to do two things at one time. She's not doing either one very efficiently.
A problem hearing, so I'm going to a different location.
Okay.
So that is quiet. No, what I wanted to say to answer your question was yesterday was the 21st anniversary of the International Day of Remembrance for the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade. It's been 21 years since the United Nations voted slavery a crime against humanity and said it always has been, and they recommended reparations. Everybody has gotten reparations, repairs for the damage, but we have got to identify who we are. America didn't become America until 1776. So we can't claim reparations from America from 1619. From 1619 to 1776, that's under Great Britain on that portion of reparations.
Can I comment about that real quick for the sake of time?
Let me finish what I'm saying and then comment again, because this is we have a lot of people have emotional responses to things, and everybody is entitled to their own opinions, but they are not entitled to their own facts. So when we bring forth facts, we're saying, yes, you have your plight, but everybody claims who they are. They say Holocaust remembered. They don't say everybody else is on the Holocaust, because they're not. And when they say gay rights, they're not saying everybody on the planet is homosexual, because they're not. Everybody defines what they are and what they are about. Women's rights, we're not talking about men's rights, not saying men's aren't entitled to rights, but everybody names and claims who they are. But we want to be in everybody. I'm black and I'm brown and I'm people of color. Everybody has a color. And so we have to be advocates. We're the only group, first of all, that has leaders. Secondly, we're the only group that doesn't have rights attached to what we are requiring. We got the NAACP, and we got Urban League, and we got, but we don't attach ourselves with rights. Civil rights is for everybody, but we got to claim human rights. The thing that happened to us was crimes against humanity, and you pay for those crimes.
You're doing a lecture, Mama D.
Before you,
yes, I
got a couple comments.
Well, I can't keep up with all this.
Hold on one second. We got a couple comments
that people
I want to
point
I need you all to hold on a second. I just want to add a couple of the Facebook comments before you continue. Curtis says, speaking of jobs, because, you know, we're talking about the economy, said, my worst fear on returning to America after living and earning a living in West Africa, 11 years as a jewelry craftsman, were to depend on someone or organization for a job. And all praises to the Creator, it wasn't necessary. Thanks to the wisdom of a dear friend, Dr. Margaret Burroughs, who during one of her visits to Ghana, I inquired as to how I could earn a living as a craftsman when I returned to America. She said, Kojo, no one's going to give you a job. So we're now talking about we're expecting someone's reparations. And Curtis says, of course, he's an entrepreneur. So the question that I would put out there, if other ethnic groups are saying, look, we came to America to take advantage of the opportunity to create entrepreneurship, why aren't black people doing the same thing? They have everything that we have in terms of skills. How come they're not doing what we're doing and creating jobs instead of waiting for someone to give them something or even repay them for something? So I want to throw that thought out there and
okay,
what you
so
think about
that.
Okay,
let me answer that thought.
But you haven't answered my question yet.
Well, hold on, Pianki. Let her make that statement in, and then Pianki will get your response.
Put in somebody else on your question. Now, since you didn't put somebody else in on your question, this is what happened.
It's because you made my question a lecture, Mama D. Come on now.
Yes, and you already had your question. You shouldn't have been put back on the phone before we got to
it.
Well, I am.
Your show is so popular, people just have to say something.
Yeah, let me say what I got to say so I can be gone, please.
Tell you what's happening here. We got a co-host and a co-host, one in person at one place and one online in another place, and that's quite a challenge.
Yeah, it is.
Well, yeah, you include me in when you be using words like we. I mean, you and Naima can talk to each other every day, all day. Can I say what I was getting ready to say, please?
Yes, please.
Yeah, I can go on.
All right, I'm going to say it real quick. The 14th Amendment was 1868. So it cannot give people that were born in 1600 any rights because they don't have the ability to grandfather. Also, the United Nations was created in 1948, coming out of the League of Nations. The United Nations has no right going back and saying what happened in the 1500s was a crime against humanity because at that time, humanity and society thought it was acceptable. And once again,
now,
wait a minute, I got one more real quick. You talk about, well, it's okay. It's okay. You know why come I had to put so many of them together? Because in your answer to me, you put about 15, and I can only keep up with two or three.
Well, you should have been on the phone because you had already had your turn.
You don't say it that once, but why do you keep including me in your we?
That's not in the time quarreling. That's just
no, you're right. Well, let me finish, please. I could have been done by now.
Seconds already, so go ahead, Pianki.
But anyway, since she don't took up so much of my time in Oregon, I'm going to let it go like that in order to let somebody else come on and pose their question.
Thank you. But I want to ask, the United Nations was formed in 1946. Right now, with the war in Ukraine, they are referring to the United Nations. America is part of the United Nations, and putting together the format that defined what a human rights violation was. And we can't say, United Nations has no jurisdiction, but because America is part of that body, they do have jurisdictions because they serve on the United Nations, and they should obey the rules and regulations of the United Nations. And they were part of creating those laws. But in 1951, when Paul Robeson went to the United Nations that we charged genocide, Eleanor Roosevelt said to black people, I will tear up my membership in the NAACP if you open your mouth about reparations, because the segregation laws was putting us in the same category as was happening to other people that they were fighting for their rights. They're sitting here fighting for the rights of everybody else, but us, because we are under a different category of citizenship. But the 14th Amendment says equal justice under the law, and yet they cannot hold former servitude status against you as a people. And the 15th Amendment gives you the right to vote if you are born in America or naturalized in America. Those are constitutional rights. And the 13th Amendment frees slavery, but they sort of had slavery by another name when you are incarcerated. And the first crime was not having a job, and you could serve vacancy. You could serve anywhere from a year to life in prison because you didn't have a job. You left 226 years of 100% employment, and now because you don't have a job. So what I'm saying is we have citizenship rights by the Constitution. We never should have gone in for a civil rights bill that's limited to 20-plus years. But if you get your naturalized citizenship law, you are not under that 20-year limitation. So we went and changed in a constitutional right for a civil rights bill. But at the end of the day, we can go back to the Constitution, and it trumps the Civil Rights Bill or the Civil Rights Act or these other things that they have come up with.
Well, you got a response here, Mama D, and you got a couple of more callers. We only got let me throw in this here regarding our I guess heritage. Curtis says, as for DNA, in his book My Sankofa, My Born Again Experience, he wrote the book about that. He said it was before the discovery of DNA. 6 years ago in 2015, I had a DNA test done and discovered that 87% of my ancestors' DNA are from the Ashanti, Akims area, where I had been adopted and lived from 1965 to 1976. So he brings up a point, Mama D. You have a lot of people who are doing the DNA test. They know exactly where they came from. They know exactly the area, if it's mostly, you know, whatever part of Africa. So they will know the identity if they choose to adopt it. So then would America owe them reparations?
Please allow me to address that. I went with Harry Small and Linnell Harris of WBON to Ghana in 2018. Now, before we went, we all had to take DNA tests. I was shocked beyond belief, and it shouldn't have been, when mine came back European. By Africanists, I know they're kidding. My father was full-blooded my father's mother, my grandmother was full-blooded Cherokee Indian. However, this wasn't taken on the father's side. It was taken on the mother's side. But my mother was one of the yellow gang. So somewhere along the line, yesterday, when they did the International Day of Remembrance for the Victims of Slavery and the Transatlantic Slave Trade, they talked about 90% of all the enslaved blue mothers were 12 or 13 years old. And 80% of that 90% were children of the slave owner. And this is what was happening through all of that, how we got colored. It was because the 11-year-old, as soon as I guess as they had a menstrual cycle, they were mothers to the slave owner, the slave master's children. And a black woman couldn't even be raped. So these were some of the statistics that came out when they did the United Nations broadcast yesterday commemorating that day. And it was a lot of other interesting factors and dancers and singers, etc. But this is what I am saying. None of us have escaped slave on a tank. So if the truth be told, you've got some light skin. I had cousins that could pass for white because my mother was one of the yellow gals.
So it was actually old money. If you got white
answer,
and you claim that you owe reparations. We got another caller here. See if I can take one more. 7-3-4-5.
My grandparents was enslaved.
770, your mic is open.
Are you there?
Yeah, 773-450, your mic is open. Right ahead. What is your response?
I was just wondering, just this is such a wonderful program with so much information. And the time's running out. You all should allow us at least get an extra 5 or 10 minutes worth of that knowledge. I'll give up my time just to listen to some more.
I appreciate it.
Keep bringing forth. Yeah, really. Where can you get information like that? Nobody's even talking about what we have and what's being done right now. You don't hear that on the news. So I surely appreciate it because that's something that we really need. Keep it going.
But we thank you so much for listening.
Kojo, I want you to be, thank you so much for that call. Kojo, I want you to be my guest on the next Wisdom with Mama D.
I think that would be great.
You always funk out, but I tell you, I want you to be a guest on the female salon, and I'm inviting you to be right along with Kojo next week.
I think that'd be an excellent show. I think that'd really be a powerful one. And regarding what Rashida said on the fact that we got to look at our current state of violence, Curtis says Rashida's right on target. I agree. I think that a lot of the current conditions we're in are reflections of an overall violent culture. Some things I'd say, yeah, we still have a holdover from slavery, but then we got that issue of human behavior that is horrible everywhere, and that's what really I think needs to be transformed. But Mama D, we only got a minute left. You want to give a closing remark?
Well, I just want to thank everybody. For this spiritual conversation, because see, what happens is if you tell me something I don't know, you have added to my knowledge. So to disagree with a position or a point is necessary in order to have growth. But we've got this mentality. Too many have the mentality that if you don't agree with me, then it's something wrong. But it is through the differences of opinion that we come out with a workable resolution to our problems. And in closing, I just wanted to say that be mindful that the first African-American woman to be nominated for President of the United States is coming up. I believe that even though I disagreed that she didn't give a definition of woman, is an adult female human being, that she could have given that definition. And also I had an issue with how she went from 10 years of a sentence to 3 months. But at the end of the day, she needs her property. All the other female justices have had a hyphenated last name. They introduced her with a hyphenated last name where she gave honor to her parents for giving her an African name, and she honors her parents with a hyphenated last name. Nobody has any problem with her, but they have taken her name and reduced it to a Jackson when it's Brown Jackson. We've got to make sure she has equal protection under the law and has a hyphenated name like the other three judges that were married. They had hyphenated names, and we don't mind saying the whole thing when it comes to them, but we are reducing her to Jackson, and we must not do that.
All right. Well, we got 5 seconds to go before we're out. Thanks so much, Mama D. And, of course, join us tomorrow, you all, for Soul Purpose Healing right back here on the Female Solution, 7 p.m. Central. And, as always,
thank you for listening to Wisdom with Mama D.
Wisdom.
I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakor. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessing.